Welcome to JAG Talk, a podcast series featuring Navy JAG community experts. Listen to in-depth discussions about different legal fields and hear insights and lessons learned from practitioners across our enterprise.
Welcome to a new episode of JAG Talk. I'm Commander Stephanie Cerrone, and today we are joined by a special guest who will address some frequently asked questions by JAG Corps personnel about the Office of Special Trial Counsel, or OSTC. These are fairly complicated and technical questions. The answers to more general questions are available on the JAG Corps' public-facing website. Welcome, Admiral Jonathan Stevens. Thank you for being here today. As the lead Special Trial Counsel of OSTC, you now oversee some of the Navy's most critical cases, particularly those involving personal violence, like sexual assault and other major crimes. At the end of 2023, OSTC became fully operational, marking a significant military justice reform milestone. Could you tell us more about this?
Absolutely. Thanks, Steph, for having me. And just to start out, I want to thank everybody throughout the last 2 years that's helped us kind of get this up off the ground. We've had a lot of questions throughout, and I appreciate people continuing to provide questions to us, and hopefully we can keep communicating with the fleet. We did, as you mentioned, we became fully operationally capable on 28 December 2023, which means that we now have exclusive authority over all covered offenses, which are defined in the UCMJ, but as you said, focus predominantly on allegations of sexual misconduct and other personal violence. And we're also responsible for prosecuting these cases at GCMs and special court marshals.
Sir, how is OSTC notified of known or related offenses?
So with some of them, felony level offenses are typically, especially the ones involving allegations of sexual misconduct, are going to come to us directly through NCIS. And that's kind of based on the SAPR process that we've had in place for quite a long time. And so we expect that to continue. We just recently put out a NAV admin, which was 02824 in February, which kind of outlined the expectations for the commands to report these offenses to us. It seems a little confusing at first when you look, because sometimes the commands, we've expected them or required them to tell us about things that aren't sexually related. And that was to kind of respect the process that's been in place already with respect to sexual allegations. So NCIS will continue to notify those of us of those offenses, and things like retaliation, kidnapping, domestic violence, those will be offenses that will have to be reported us by the commands. And so you'll be able to distinguish that when you look at the NAV admin, the ones with asterisks or not, and that will kind of outline what the commands are expected to do.
So, sir, that will help us get the initial covered offense, and then will NCIS or the command help make us aware of the known and related offenses that follow from those?
So we have two. I mean, this is definitely a challenge for us. So, and it goes back to what I said at the beginning on why communication is key between all the stakeholders. We're hoping that with the introduction of the NCOR system, when we are putting names in the system, that we'll be able to cross-reference perhaps people who may have been alleged victims in the past, people who may have been accused of offenses in the past, or even witnesses who pop up in multiple instances. So in theory, we should be able to pull that on our own when we're entering new cases into the system. That said, if commands are aware of potentially of people who may be involved, we would ask that they notify us as well. It's not going to be incumbent upon the SJAs to do that searching for us, but to the fact that they are aware, we would ask that they kind of provide us a little double check on that just so we can track it. But ideally, we'll be able to manage that through the NCOR system.
How are we going to notify commanders that we're exercising authority over those known and related offenses?
So hopefully they've started to see these already. Since December 28th, we've introduced a new form. Of course, we change the name every time to confuse everybody. So it's a notice of disposition decision form. So if we are going to exercise authority initially, we will let the commands know that we've taken the case. And then once we do take the case, we will then let them know what we plan on doing ultimately with the case once we've received their input. One significant change that has happened is that before, which everybody received training, that the key date was 28 December 2023. The most recent NDAA changed the law a little bit, allowing us more reach back authority. And so we now have the ability to reach back and take any type covered offense that occurred prior to 28 December. And again, if you go back to the NAV admin that I referenced before, we've exercised authority over all cases prior to 28 December, unless there had already been a decision made by the command. So if the command's made a decision there, we won't do anything there unless we get a specific request. But otherwise, all the SJAs out there should know that we've exercised authority over all of those cases. And so they should now expect to see these notification of disposition decisions as kind of the standard.
And so we're calling those notification of disposition decisions a nod.
Nod, yes.
And so would we give a nod that would cover known and related offenses as well if we were going to exercise authority over those?
We would.
And then the command would know to hold off on acting on any of those until we would notify them again?
Correct. And so that's one of the other things where communication is key. I think one of the questions is, what can my commander do if we've exercised authority, if the OSTC has exercised authority? We would ask that the SJAs just kind of confer with OSTC. There are certain administrative functions that remain within the sole ambit of the commander, whether that's MPOs, whether that's PTC decisions, so, and some maybe minor counseling type decisions. But we would just ask that people coordinate with us. And we understand that some cases may require a more expedited decision on some of those things. So just, if I would just invite everyone to engage our guys, and hopefully we can make that happen for them.
Thanks, sir. Another question that we've received is, if an accused is facing two separate courts martial, one referred by OSTC and another one referred by the traditional convening authority, can the accused plead guilty at a single court martial for all offenses?
So generally, I think the answer is no if the two cases have already been referred by different referral authorities. There is a possibility that, you know, in working between all the stakeholders, that maybe, especially now that we have a little more flexibility in being able to reach back to get certain offenses that occurred prior to December 28th, that perhaps we could work something out there so there would be only one court martial, but we'd have to, all parties would have to have it in writing so everybody is understanding where, you know, the case stands. I do think one of the key things to remember about the reach back is OSTC cannot reach back for a known or related offense unless there is also a covered offense that predates December 28th. And so let's say if we have a covered offense that occurred after December 28th, there are allegations of offenses that predated that. OSTC does not have referral authority over those cases at this time. There's discussion of fixing that perhaps in the FY25 NDAA. But so in that case, most likely there would still be two courts martial unless all of the stakeholders can work something out.
Thank you. If a command is unsure if an allegation of misconduct is a covered, known, or related offense, should the command still report the case to us at OSTC?
Our request would be yes. Again, the statute says that we have exclusive authority over these cases. And so I think, especially in the beginning, it's better if we err on the side of caution. I understand there's a, not necessarily hesitancy, but there's a concern, I'm sure, in the field that the more we engage, then the more likely it could be to take longer. And so, again, I think we've shown so far in most of our offices that if there are cases that we can dispose of quickly and determine that they aren't covered offenses, we will return those to the command as quickly as possible. So I would ask all commands to err on the side of caution. And as we work through the system, I think everybody will start to become more familiar with it. It's incumbent upon us to get the cases back to the commanders as soon as we can. And so we're going to strive to do that.
We kind of covered this a little bit, sir, but just to make sure we're hitting all aspects of it, one of the questions is, if OSTC is already handling a case, does that mean the command can't take administrative action?
And it goes back to, depends on the administrative action. So the one extreme would be, yes, that would mean that the command cannot conduct an ADCEP board, for example. But there are other administrative actions that run the gamut. And so, again, for an MPO or some type of PTC, it's not necessarily administrative, but that is a decision that lies solely within the discretion of the command. So if there's something in the gray area in between those two kind of guideposts, we would just ask that you give us a call and make sure that we're all on the same page.
I think some of the examples we've discussed are like security clearance reviews would probably still be something the command might need to act on,
yes,
or expedited transfers of victims, but we would just want to make sure we're tracking that, right, sir?
Absolutely. So expedited transfers, certainly that process, nothing will change with that. I could even, I guess, imagine a scenario where a commander may want to try to move someone who's accused of offense. Again, we would just ask that they let us know there. That could have one impact on that person who's accused, but also impact where the case will ultimately be held. And so the sooner we're all tracking on the same page, the better.
Specifically, if there's an action that would sever jurisdiction over the accused or something that could be considered illegal pretrial punishment, do you think those are the biggest red flags that we would need to be following?
Yeah, those would be bad for us. And that kind of goes to the ADCEP piece. So hopefully, and sometimes it's not quite that clear. And again, if we think it's, you know, whether it's putting someone in RILA or is there a question of whether trying to take someone's security clearance is improper pretrial punishment? Normally that answer is no. But again, if we can all be talking about it, so that we can, you know, work through these things on the front end so we're not surprised on the back end. Again, communication is kind of my common theme.
Okay, sir. Those are all the questions that we have for today. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
No problem. I appreciate the opportunity. And again, I know that there's always a couple growing pains as we're starting a new system. So far, reviews we're getting are generally positive, but please feel free to let us know if there are things that we can do to make it better for everybody out there in the field, because that's what we're striving to do. So thanks a lot, Steph. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. That wraps up our FAQ session. I hope you found these answers helpful in understanding the roles and responsibilities of OSTC and the changes that have occurred. For more information about OSTC and military justice reform training materials for fleet leaders, legal professionals, and stakeholders, please reach out to OSTC headquarters and OJAG Code 20. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to JAG Talk, a podcast series featuring Navy JAG community experts. Visit jag.navy.mil for additional chapters of this podcast series. Thank you for tuning in.